Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and began singing at age 14 as a backup for the Traveling Review, L. Freeman and the Upsetters. He has 20 albums to his credit and has the distinction of being the first artist in music history to have separate records topping four different charts. Two songs for Disney animated films earned him his two Grammys. Beauty and the Beast with Celine Dion and A Whole New World with Regina Bell. His name, Peebo Bryson. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with the rhythm and blues icon, Peebo Bryson. Mr. Bryson, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your grandmother, please, and what they taught you?
Oh, those values are... My mother and my grandmother, my grandparents in general, they taught me the virtue of honesty, sincerity, keeping a cool head when all others about you are in chaos. So these are kind of lifelong lessons that you keep. They taught me a lot about women because the way I grew up, you grew up in the sacred feminine. I figured out very early in my life that the men in my house weren't really in charge.
So
that women were actually in charge.
That's true of every house, people. That's true of every home, right?
I think so. I think so. But I became aware of it very early. And for a while, growing up, I felt like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But that survived it. And I think that men who survive being raised in the sacred feminine take away some sensitivities that I think other men don't have. I think they understand women in a different way because they learn very early to negotiate, navigate their way through life with women. And I think that that's had a tremendous reflection on my music and my philosophy about relationships in general between men and women, or relationships in general. I don't think I could ever, I would be the same without it. I think that that's probably one of the dynamics that I think separated my music from probably the herd or everyone else's.
Peebo, where did you get your love for music?
Oh, my goodness. My biological grandfather was a big band guy, so the music gene was strong in the beginning. My mother had the most beautiful voice I'd ever heard, but couldn't sing in front of more than four people at a time. Very shy, but extremely talented, and I just loved to hear her sing. She had a great affinity for music, all kinds of music, and of course, not growing up with the internet or anything like it. Basically, you gathered your information from what you read and the stories you heard from those around you. In those days, you could trust the stories to be fairly accurate. So it was my mother told me stories about different artists and different people she loved, and the music that she loved, and was varied always. The music she loved was so diverse that it was a little bit of everything, and I think that eclectic kind of attitude is really what made my career so broad. But she loved it, and the only thing that she couldn't do was go to a concert without my older sister and myself. So I got a chance very early as a boy to see Sam Cooke live, Jackie Wilson live, the original Drifters. I saw the original Ike and Tina Turner Review, for crying out loud. I didn't realize at the time that I was watching music history. And I'd never seen anything so powerful as a poignant vocalist who carried himself in a very I don't want to say sophisticated, but he carried himself in a way that was I would say charismatic, in a way that transcended. I watched music transcend race, religion, bigotry, you name it, and it transcended it. I've never seen anything more powerful than music and its effect on people, and how it became clear to me it was such a great equalizer. And the one thing that people could have a common interest in, regardless of who you were, what your background was. So naturally, I grew an affinity for it, and decided that it was for me very, very early. Always wanted to do it. It was always calling to me.
God regularly sends angels to us in our lives, and one such angel, a musical mentor of yours, was Moses Dillard. Mm-hmm. Why was he so instrumental in your life?
Moses Dillard was a child prodigy, guitar virtuoso, music virtuoso, really, who was gracious enough and spiritual enough to reach out and allow other people to that had something to give. He was a great procurer of talent as well. He could recognize talent from a mile away, and once he recognized it was undeniable to him. He had to have it around him and with him, connected to him. He was gracious in that regard and never tried to hold any of us back in any way, shape, or form. We were probably the most famous, unfamous band on the planet. We did everything that every other great band has ever done. The biggest television programs at the time, the biggest television program during that era was probably the Midnight Special. Well, we did it 3 times. I mean, nobody knew who we were, but apparently people did. And also they were making records, and they had some critical success in places like the UK and all that. I wanted to make records. I always did, and that was the whole point of actually getting into music, isn't it? To actually record something. So I've been recording since I was 15. One of the great prerequisites to be in a group of musicians with Moses was you had to learn how to read and write music. You had to actually become a musician. It didn't make any difference if your primary vocation was vocals. You had to learn. I think that that experience and his tutelage is absolutely invaluable, if I'm honest. And the first thing I did as a solo artist when I achieved success very early, was blessed to receive success early, was to study voice. You know, you want to get better. If not, then what is the point if you don't want to be all you can be? So that was another one of the standards that my parents and fortunately he carried that on, the pursuit of excellence, not perfection, because there's no such thing, but excellence is the pursuit of all that you can do and all that you can be. Barring nothing and barring none.
We're talking to Peebo Bryson, who began singing at age 14 as a backup for the Traveling Review, L. Freeman and the Upsetters. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasool, and we're with Peebo Bryson, who had another angel come into his life named Eddie Bisco. Peebo, what did Eddie Bisco do for you?
Eddie Bisco was formerly of Motown, and so that's where he cut his teeth. Knew every promotion person on the planet. Knew how to run a record company, knew a lot of different things. He was just an extremely exceptional individual where music is concerned. But I think, to me, Eddie Briscoe was probably more exceptional as a human being. He was just one of the, maybe the coolest man I've ever met. Gracious, again, I've been extremely fortunate to have myself tied to gracious men who saw something in me that I didn't even see, who believed in me when I was a little skeptical about myself, and helped me to become me, and gave me the room and the patience, and gave me the patience to do it. They not only gave me patience from themselves, but they taught me patience in myself and of myself. So at that particular point, when you're really that young, you don't have patience. So I learned to use all the other substitutes for patience that I could find until I developed my own. But Eddie Briscoe probably, if I don't believe I'm even saying this, he's the guy that actually taught me how to dress. Can't believe I'm even saying that. Not only did he teach me to believe in myself, but he taught me to be, how to be trendy, but be yourself at the same time. And what conservative is and what conservative isn't, what is always in vogue in fashion and what is not. I don't think that I've probably used a stylist in my career probably twice, maybe, and that's because it was forced on me. They didn't do much. But that, because I didn't need that. I mean, you have your own thing that you do. That's in music and ideology and every other thing in life, isn't it, really? So knowing Eddie Briscoe enhanced my individuality. In music or art or anything, individuality is probably one of your greatest components, if you should be fortunate enough to find it and have it and develop it. Because it's you. I don't sound like anyone else. And no one sounds like me. Not really. And that's probably one of the main components that's kept my career alive for 51 years. There's only one me. As there's only one Jeffrey Osborne, or there's only one James Ingram, or one Luther Vandross, or one Phil Perry, or... You know, that's all one Al Jarreau. There's only one.
You've been
there are many, many imitations for some of them, but that's a difficult thing to. It's impossible to duplicate.
You've been described as the Pavarotti of love songs. So, I quote you now, people. Life itself is a song. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that. That means that every single significant thing that takes place in our lives is marked with some kind of music, isn't it? From the day we're born, and every birthday we celebrate, every significant event that is a part of our lives is celebrated and marked to some sort of music. We get married to music. We break up to music. We make up to music. We do everything to music. We have to have a happy song in the morning to get us going. We need something positive when we're not altogether pleased and happy with our lives and wherever we may be in that moment. Life is lived one moment to moment and actually bar to bar, musical bar to musical bar, musical phrase to musical phrase.
We're talking to Peebo Bryson, who has 20 albums to his credit, and has the distinction of being the first artist in music history to have separate records topping four different charts. Okay, let's go to 1991.
Okay.
And Disney wants to produce this animated film, Beauty and the Beast, and they team you up with a Canadian singer by the name of Celine Dion.
Celine Dion is vocally, she has no deficiencies whatsoever. She has her own thing that she does, but that doesn't keep her. There's nothing she cannot do, and if there's something that you can't do, then that's to me is the true definition or the definitive definition of what a great singer is. A great singer is a vocalist that has no limitations. That's what a great singer is. They're a great song stylist. Who have a thing that they do that people like, and I think that's wonderful. there have been many of them, and they've been extremely successful, and I've always applauded their success. But in terms of being a comprehensive vocalist, that would be someone like Celine Dion. Oh, and if I'm honest, it would be somebody like myself, and I don't mean that in an egotistical way. I just mean that it's a great gift to have, and if I get the opportunity to speak on it, then it's my responsibility to express it as humbly as I possibly can.
We're talking to Peebo Bryson. Peebo, when you recorded that song with Celine Dion, did you know that was going to be the best song of the year and you're going to win a Grammy for that song?
Well, here's the thing. Over the years, you kind of grow an instinct for certain things, for things that are special when music is concerned. And the first time I heard it, I knew then that it was going to be something really special, because it had, you know, I never got tired of listening to it repetitively, you know, over and over and over and over again, and it just never lost anything every time I heard it. So that's when we call that legs. It's got legs. You kind of have high, it's okay to have high hopes for it. And when you have Alan Menken and Tim Rice involved in a musical project of a song, then it gets different. It can be different, but it doesn't get better than that. Not ever, I don't think. Again, it's one of those things. I didn't even know Celine. I just agreed with the executive genius of all time is Jay Landis in terms of songsmith and A&R. He is probably the best that's ever been to me. He knew instinctively that Celine and I would suit well in a duet. We'd never met each other, and he actually asked long before there was a project and long before Beauty and the Beast was even a thought. He asked if I would be interested in singing a duet at some point with Celine Dion if I knew who she was, and I said, yes, she's a great instrument. I'd love to do it. Through his connections in the music industry, because his father was Hal Landis, who was king of all the B-movies like Smokey and the Bandit and all that, he got a chance to see the animation while it was in production. And he said, that's terrific. He said, it's fabulous. Is there any music? And they said, funny, you should ask. Here's a song, Beauty and the Beast.
As it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly.
Just a little change, small to say the least.
Beauty and the Beast, Peebo Bryson, and I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with the rhythm and blues iconic balladeer, Peebo Bryson. Peebo, a year later, 1992, they team you up with Regina Bell, and we get a whole new world, Aladdin's theme. Tell us about that experience.
Another extraordinary experience. First of all, I was blessed to find to be paired up with another extraordinary vocalist. If it's a difficult song to sing, then Regina Bell is your person. You have to understand something about what these songs really mean and how they're really done and accomplished. When Celine Dion and I recorded Beauty and the Beast, it doesn't come with instructions. You listen to it a lot, and you study it. You understand its ins and outs. And you learn to not compromise the melody if you possibly can. You can enhance it, but you cannot compromise it, because you have to understand what the meaning of the song is. You have to make it pay off, because that's the part that people are going to sing over and over and over and over and over again. It's going to be repeated forever for a long, long time, because it's Disney, and they're going to resurface that thing forever. Forever. So there was no one in the studio, though we were there with great producers like Walter Afanasieff, there was no one suggesting we approach something a specific way. It's only what you give it, and therein lies the true talent, I think, of first of all understanding what it is that you're singing and what the meaning of it is. With Beauty and the Beast, it was an abject lesson in to children to look beyond the physical. And how important is that to our children in terms of the kind of people that are going to become, what kind of adults they're going to become in the world? I mean, that's a crucial piece of wisdom for them, and what an extraordinary way to feed it to them in an easy sort of way, like music in a truly great animated film with a truly great scene. So you have to look at it back. That's what you're singing. What are you singing for? If it's for yourself or to hear yourself sing as many licks as you can sing, then that really doesn't do anything. That's not, you've already compromised the integrity of what you're doing already, because you've lost the true meaning of it. And then when something like a Whole New World comes along, what a great, another great concept of that we can create anything. We can make anything brand new and better. We can make any old concept work better. You can make anything that's worth saying mean something. Anything that's worth doing mean even more. You have countries like South Africa adopting that particular theory the first time they allowed black South Africans into their Miss South Africa beauty pageant. That was the theme, A Whole New World. And similar concepts like that all over the globe. So, again, when you sing it, you got to know, when you're recording it, you got to know what it's going to mean. It's got to mean that to you already, and therein lies true talent, true genius, and true artistry to me. I mean, that's the way I see it. And who would ever thought that anybody, any recording artist, would have the great distinction or the great blessings of actually doing two songs like that that mean so much, so close together, and to have them turn out to become the two greatest Disney sellers of all time.
Here is a piece of A Whole New World with Peebo Bryson and Regina Bell. A Whole New World. You won Grammys for both those songs. Mm-hmm. For most of us, winning a Grammy would be the highlight of our life, but I quote you now. You say that winning the Grammy isn't the proudest achievement of your life. Having your songs be a part of someone's life means a whole lot more to you. Please.
Well, here's the thing. It's a Grammy is an individual achievement, and it's something that's given to you by jury of your peers, and it means everything, you know. It's the highest achievement professionally, but personal achievement is personal to it's individual by individual. And what's more important to me, what's more important than a Grammy, is that people are administered to by what it is that by your art, that somehow when they feel bad, they're soothed. When they need answers, they seek the answers through the music that you created and the words that you've written and the compositions that accompany those words. And you, because you have to make a marriage between what you have to say verbally and in words, and then you have to make a marriage between the words and the music. So having done that, if your music means that much to someone or helps someone through a difficult time or brings about understanding or some kind of epiphany of life, then isn't that far more greater? It's because it's greater than yourself. It's something that affects the collective, and therein affects your effect on humanity itself. So that's far greater and far more reaching, I think, than an individual accomplishment.
People, our mutual friend, Alexander Zajac, who in his own mind is maybe the coolest man in the history of the world, okay? His hair is to die for. He has the Shoreline Jazz Festival in Muskegon, Michigan, from August 24th through 27th. You're actually performing on the 27th.
Right.
If our listeners want tickets, they can go to www.startickets.com. When you perform live on August 27th, everybody in that audience wants you to be the best you've ever been.
Correct.
That's what you live with. That's the expectation.
Correct.
How do you do that every time?
Well, you have to understand that, if I'm honest, faith is an indispensable component of art to me. And people can say it's not spiritual, but it is. Because it's creation, and I think all creation is divine. I think it's the origins of all creation is divine. I know that there are many who would argue with that concept, but they would never be able to convince me. How should I put this? Expectations of people are probably far less than the expectations I have for myself. If you set a very high standard for yourself, then you'll pretty much meet everybody else's expectation. And I don't accept or set unrealistic goals for myself by any stretch of the imagination. But I do set a very high standard for myself, and I don't mind doing that. I'm kind of harder on me than mostly anybody is. I'm my greatest critic and whatever. But I'm also a great believer in it, and faith is just about everything there is. And it's probably the only reason I'm still around. I believe in grace. I believe in God's grace. I believe in the grace of humanity even. It's not hard to have faith in a world like, especially like the one that we live in now. It's not hard to have faith. It's essential that you have faith, I think. And I kind of look at it like I follow a very simple philosophy of life. You know, I try to treat every single human being like I want to be treated. And if I give you respect, then I that respect has to be reciprocal. If it's not, then I will take mine away. It's as simple as that. I treat everyone like I want to be treated, and I try to stay grounded by doing simple things.
We're talking to Peeble Bryson, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Peeble Bryson, who won 2 Grammys for Best Song of the Year for Beauty and the Beast and A Whole New World. How do you describe rhythm and blues to somebody, Peeble?
I'm not sure if it's something that can be accurately explained to anyone. I think it's more a feeling. It's like trying to explain the blues to someone. You know, my blues is going to be different from your blues, and what touches my soul is going to be a little different from what touches someone else's soul. But close enough in comparison that I wouldn't want to try to live on the difference between the two. But I don't know. Again, I think you have to approach everything from a simple aspect. I mean, it's if you're going to do something, do it right and do it the right way. And again, it's everything is mutual, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Everything is mutual, and that's the way you got to look at it. It's got to stay mutual. I mean, it's you can't really predict the future, or there's no such thing as a safe place, because, as you well know, safety is something that's relative to whichever day you're living life. you know, and that's the way kind of you have to look at everything. I certainly look at music that way. I don't know about you, Jack, but I like my music straight with no chaser. And trying to describe R&B is rhythm and blues is something that makes you that touches you in a specific way. Something that makes you sometimes that makes you want to move. Sometimes it makes you want to cry. Sometimes it makes you want to laugh, and sometimes it makes you want to give more of yourself than you've been capable of. And I think that if you inspired that, then that's good rhythm and blues to me. I think rhythm and blues is what gets us through the day, through the best and the worst of our times. I think that it's, let's call it what it is, Jack. It's medicine for the soul, isn't it?
Perfect. We're talking to Peabo Bryson, who's been described as the Pavarotti of soul singers. If you want to learn more, www.peabobryson.net. Peabo, most people don't know you're a fabulous guitarist and also a phenomenal songwriter. How many songs do you think you've written?
Oh, my goodness. I started writing really... Wow, Jack. I started writing and recording my songs probably 1969. Hmm. So I've probably written a lot of songs over that period of time. I've never really counted, if I'm honest.
Do you start with the lyrics, or do you start with the music?
You know, I think for me, Jack, I mean, everybody's process is different. My process is, you know, if you play a certain chord or you play certain chord progressions, they evoke a specific kind of emotion and feeling. And if you can identify that, then you call it whatever you're identifying, whatever it's making you feel. So if you have a theme or something to call it, or a theme for the music that you're playing around with, then you can establish a composition that it's like a... It's one of the reasons I like Twitter. You know why I like Twitter? Because it's like writing a song. Whatever you got to do, you write, I don't care how profound it is, you've still only got 140 characters to do it. So it's trying to do something profound within the structure without making it feel like it's structured at all. And it's so that's my process. If I call it something, then I can structure something, and I can make the music make sense, give me so many bars to say this and so many bars to say that. And, you know, you have to, the first thing that is best to probably write a hook first, which would be a chorus. Write a chorus or a pre-chorus and a chorus, and then write the storyline around that. It's just, that's my process. It's just easy for me.
Peabo, as our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners, please?
Well, if to those who are aspiring to become artists or songwriters or musicians even, be yourself. This question's been asked of me for 50 years almost, and I'll tell you this. Prince and I were asked the same question in by the same magazine, and I had this eloquent thing that went on for 8 paragraphs or something, and Prince summed it all up by saying, "Be different." And I thought that was brilliant, and then it made me start to. It encouraged me, that particular incident encouraged me to edit what I have to say. Everything doesn't have to be eloquent to be understood and to be profound, or to be taken to be profound by people. And that started me to on this quest of simplifying things. Simplifying music is essential to. That's one of the original rules of music. To sometimes a timely pause is better than the greatest line ever, and people don't realize that that's probably the genius of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. All those complicated phrases, but then simplicity, almost nothing. It's held together by this, by one single thread of a bassoon, just holding one note, waiting for everybody else to understand what, to catch their breath and find out what's coming next, and to have some kind of reasonable expectation of it. But knowing all of the while that it's going to be extraordinary. What a wonderful way to look at life. So if you're going to do something in art, make certain that you being you, find your own voice, find your own opinion, find your own reality. And once you find the reality of yourself, then you have something to offer to art. You think that if any of us or anyone listening thinks that artists like Pablo Picasso, if you don't like long peasant fingers and oblong faces and profiles, don't buy his work, because that's what you're going to get. He's not going to change that for you, for me, or for anyone else. He was never going to change that. He's trying to be Pablo Picasso. He's not trying to be anyone else. Like, I'm only trying to be people of voice, and you should only try to be you, because that is the only opportunity that you're ever going to have to be better than me.
And people, Bryson, you being unique has made the world a better place for hundreds of millions of people. Thanks much.
Well, Jack, I appreciate that. And thank you, and God bless you for saying it. That's very kind of you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Believe in yourself.